Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We will begin with HB 759, minimum age for firearm purchase or transfer, by Representative Salzman and Representative Saroy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HB 759 proposes to lower the minimum age for firearm purchase and transfer in Florida from 21 to 18 years. That is the bill.
So this just went through. No opposition, no criticism, just unanimously sailed through committee, bipartisan, no speakers, all done, right? No. This is, what, the third year in a row that this bill has been filed in some form or another, and the basic idea is to roll back one of the key provisions of the post-Parkland bill, specifically the one that makes it so that people who are 18, 19, and 20 cannot purchase long guns, rifles, and shotguns legally without, you know, I mean, they can acquire them still if, you know, some benevolent benefactor manages to acquire one and then distributes it to them, then they can have a gun. that's basically the way the law works right now, but this would allow them to have guns transferred to them and also to acquire them for themselves. So that's the bill, and as I say, you know, nobody opposed it. No, there was lots of shouting and fighting and, you know, arguing. Although I will say it was mostly civil in tone. In fact, several of the representatives who were against the bill were praising Michelle Salzman for, you know, listening to them, working with them, and talking with them, and being civil about it. This is Fiona Shannon.
Science and common sense tell us that the human brain isn't fully developed at 18. Young adults are more impulsive, more prone to risky behavior, and in some cases, more susceptible to radicalization. We see this reflected in our laws. Why don't we let 18-year-olds buy alcohol? Why they can't rent a car in many places, and why they can't purchase a handgun. So why would we allow them to buy a powerful long gun?
And that's been one of the key arguments, is that, you know, guns are too powerful, guns are too scary and dangerous for anybody under the age of, well, 21. I mean, and, you know, I think some anti-gun people or gun control people would rather guns be completely illegal. Some gun control people see their value only for military and police. Some, she's got a British accent and they have a particular view of guns. Of course, I assume she's an American citizen now. She's actually with the League of Women Voters, which is, I noticed that only because the League of Women Voters historically has been nonpartisan and they continue to claim to be. But I tell you that on every major issue, they are always on the side of Democrats. And so when the League of Women Voters want to sort of, you know, offer a citizenship class, as they have recently said they want to do, which would normally be a very good thing, my only concern is, well, the League of Women Voters that my grandmother was a part of, you know, like, and had a certain reputation for a long time, is a very liberal organization today, you know, and does not side with Republicans in any major controversy, from climate to guns to education to parental rights to, you know, pick it, choice, you know, sexuality, as far as I know. But it's always on the other side, which, anyway, but that's the argument. One of the arguments is 21, at least their brains are more developed, right? And, of course, the other issue is that, you know, teenagers are going to be dangerous. Teenagers, we know, are a source of problems, right? That they do bad things.
I want to point out that we can collect data on how many tragedies have occurred. And the data shows that an 18 to 20-year-old is 3 times more likely to commit an act of violence with a gun than someone over 21. That's the data. It's clear. You can't argue that.
And she's not wrong. Okay, this is Representative Robin Bartleman, a Democrat. And the truth is that teenagers are more dangerous than the older you get, the more settled you get, the more mature you get, the more likely you are to get married, invested in society, have something to lose. And so you feel more responsible. I mean, we all know that we were terrible drivers at 16 and we were better drivers at 18 and we were better drivers at 25. You know, you were a terrible driver when you were 16. John, you're looking at me with this horrified look.
No, really? I was a good boy.
I was a good boy, too.
Yes,
I was a terrible
know.
Driver at 16 compared to 18 compared to 21.
Wonderful driver.
Sure. Okay.
I had to drive in Dallas, Texas traffic, so I was really good.
Skilled, yes. Okay, but mm-hmm. good judgment, never reacting out of an excess of the massive hormones that are washing through your brain and body all the time.
Oh, you had to give the Texas hand sign, you know, wave a couple of times.
She goes on.
What you can't argue and what I can't present to you is the number of lives that have been saved because of this bill. We're never going to know what we stopped. And to go backwards is a slap in the face.
And that's and she's right about that. You never know the data of the crimes you prevented unless you're lucky enough to have really good sample size and data to tell you that, well, crime was clicking along at this rate. We changed the law and crime is now at this rate. But it's really hard to produce that kind of an analysis. Generally speaking, you don't see when the law works well, you don't see the data, right? Now, on the other side, okay, you have people like Representative Taylor Yarkowski who says kids are what you train them. Kids know what they know, and not all kids grow up to be dangerous psychopaths and can't be trusted with guns.
I grew up on the farm of Iowa. We were hunting when we were kids and with my dad in hunter safety course, and it was very important. My daughter, who's now 18, since she was about 10 years old, she goes to the range with me. She shoots. She knows the four safety rules. She's extremely proficient, and she's going to college next year at FAU down in Boca. And she's like, Dad, you're telling me I can't have my rifle? I can't bring this? And I said, no, you can't under the current law. And she is more well-trained at this than a lot of people.
And that's true as well. If you parent them effectively, they're going to be trained. They're going to be decent, virtuous people who are perfectly safe to have. In fact, they're the kind of people that you want to have guns. In fact, as I have said many times, they're the kind of people you want to have concealed carry pistols, which they cannot buy legally until they're 21 by federal law. This would only change, you know, shotguns and rifles, which are, you know, really the least valuable things for you for general protection because they're awkward to carry around. And you usually can't. But even in your home, what would you rather have? Well, a pistol, just because of the nature of it. A shotgun is a good backup, and it's got a scary sound. But, you know, a girl of 19 living in an apartment off campus, why can't she own a gun for self-protection? That's long been my argument. Why do you want your women to be unprotected?
It's like the old saying, lock your doors, it keeps the honest people out. I mean, if they want in, they're going to get in. If they want to get guns and commit crimes, they're going to do that. Why would we hold that population defenseless? That's exactly why they go and attack them, because they know they don't have guns. We say in the firearm training world, you're the two most dangerous places is your own safety zone and a gun-free zone. Those are the most dangerous places that I can go as a citizen.
Absolutely. I think about it all the time because, you know me, I conceal carry, but I also obey the law. And I know that there are some places that I cannot take my gun, so I do not take it there. We were at the college last night for the MANA event, and it's a great event. Can't take a gun. It's a college campus. And so all I'm thinking is, okay, here we go. Back to before I could carry. It's a no-carry zone. I'm assuming that it's going to be fine, and of course it was. But if you are an assailant who wants to do bad things, where do you go? To a place where you know people carry, you suspect people carry, or you know they cannot carry? Well, obviously C, because you have a higher percentage of targets there who will not be able to respond to you. That's the idea. Now, on the other side, response, Wallace Aristide, who is a Democrat, says,
I understand somebody's been training their child since 10 years old. That's a different mentality. In the places I was at, people weren't trained about guns. When they shoot, they're not even shooting correctly. They're shooting like this. And I'm seeing people shoot little babies because they got a gun in their hand. And nobody decided or thought of, if we're going to give people at this age gun, I don't know where we help them, or maybe part of this should be, how do we help them mentally so if we're going to give it to them, they can handle it, they could know what to do, they could know how to use the weapon? Because they go and they never hit the target. They shoot people that shouldn't even got shot, innocent bystanders. This is something I've experienced in the area that I've worked at, the areas that I've lived at.
It's the issue of poor marksmanship has always struck me as a little bit of an odd one because, you know, what he's saying is, look, if we would train them so they were skilled in the use of the gun, well, at least they'd hit their targets instead of the innocent bystanders. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's the argument you think it is for your side. But if you knew the people who were going to misuse the guns, those are the ones you're kind of glad they can't shoot well. Because sometimes they will hit an innocent bystander, but a lot of times they just miss. You know, when you see these reports of at the blank and blank gas station, I don't want to draw anybody in here with reputation, 22 shots fired, nobody injured. Well, that's because they'd never got any training. And that's better than 22 shots fired, 4 people dead, right? So the gun safety and gun handling ability, I kind of like that the bad people don't have that training. But the trade-off is if people are not trained on gun safety, then they make mistakes. And people get injured or they injure themselves by accidents. You know, and you want to train people to avoid mistakes. You want to train people who are going to be good. You kind of don't want to train people who are going to be bad, right? I mean, you kind of prefer them to be incompetent. But it's really hard to figure out in advance who those people are going to be. So you have to figure out some rule for society. What's your rule going to be? Are you going to trust that people who can vote and marry and buy houses and drive, even though they can't rent a car, they can drive and they can own the car. Are you going to, and they cannot, you know, they can smoke, but they can't drink, right? Are you going to trust that those people, generally speaking, are going to be responsible citizens and are therefore eligible to use the rights the Constitution lays out for citizens, including the ownership and carrying of a weapon? Or are you going to say, well, you know, some constitutional rights are better than others, and though we trust them with the power of newspapers, they can make a newspaper. We trust them with the power of radio, they can have a broadcast. We trust them with going out and engaging in political speech and working people up towards a cause, which, again, that's allowed under the Constitution. We trust them to vote, which is a substitute for warfare, right? Voting is what we do instead of fighting each other with guns and doing civil war. We're going to trust them with all that and, by the way, send them into the field trained to wage war, if need be. Trained, it's fair. They do get training. We're going to trust them with all that, but we're not going to trust them to buy and carry a gun for whatever reason they think is appropriate. Sporting, hunting, personal self-defense, or out of some weird notion that the Second Amendment says that people should be armed to protect their government from domestic and foreign tyranny. You know, civic virtue. I will tell you that one of the reasons I own a gun is to protect me and my family. One of the reasons I own a gun is just in case, you know, real bad stuff happens. And to be honest, my sense of real bad stuff happening is pretty low at the moment. But what I always think is, you know, if real bad stuff happens, that 9mm is not going to do what you think it will. You know, so better to have something in a little better caliber, something, you know, better is not the right word, but, you know, better to have an AR-15. Because if the country falls into a hole and you've got to think about people coming to rob your house in masks by teams from Venezuela or Canada or, you know, Alabama, you know, at that point you want something a little bit more powerful than, you know, a Glock 17 or even the 43. You want an AR-15 or an AK-47 or a Ruger Ranch rifle, whatever, but you want, or, you know, or maybe a shotgun, but you want something better. So that's the argument in a nutshell. Who are you going to trust and what processes are you going to put in place to work around for the deviations from the baseline where you decide to trust your citizens? Oh, also the historical note that generally speaking across history, the people that try to reduce, restrict, and take guns wind up becoming the people that do really horrible, horrible, horrible things to millions of people. But not always, right? You can pick your communist countries where they killed millions of people after disarming them, or, you know, you can look at Great Britain, and you can look at New Zealand, and you can look at, you know, Scandinavian countries or other countries where, you know, they don't allow very many guns or any guns, and they do okay. It's a complicated topic. But in the state of Florida, under the United States Constitution, with the Second Amendment and a Republican-dominated legislature, led on this issue by Michelle Salzman, the House is absolutely going to pass this bill. The Senate historically has said, no, we're not going to change. We're going to stick with what we've got. I don't know what to tell you in terms of predicting the Senate. But if I'm in the legislature, I vote for this bill. on the simple premise that I don't think you should disarm all the 18, 19, and 20-year-old women and men who believe that they have a legitimate interest in self-defense. I would also vote to allow them to have pistols. I know that carries risks, both from them misusing it against others and against themselves. But the alternative is to disarm only the good people, to lock the doors only because the law-abiding citizens are going to obey it. And that's where I stand. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good-quality used cars, 300 or so on the lot. You can sample a bunch of them side-by-side. You can test drive 5 or 10. You said, test drive 10? Why not? I mean, you'd be surprised what you learn about what you want when you test drive 10 cars. And just see what features, what performance, what comfort, what ride. It's a dumb thing, but you might prefer a sporty ride where it's sort of tight suspension as opposed to a more luxury ride where it's sort of squishy, softer suspension. You might be the other way. How would you know? Drive some cars. You'll find out. And that's the point. Frontier is a great place to go test drive a bunch of cars, and then if they've got what you want, you can buy it. If they don't have what you want, you can send them looking for it. You can just go to one place and get all of this done. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed. And the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
During tax season, your personal info travels to a lot of places you can't control. Between payroll, your home office, your tax preparer, and the IRS, if your W-2 gets exposed, that's just the ticket for identity thieves. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't let identity thieves take you for a ride. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we'll talk about a proper Visit Pensacola St. Patrick's Day and what springtime means in Pensacola.
Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Hey, Lord, whatever I've done, don't strike me blind for another couple of minutes.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thousands of fired government employees could be reinstated now on the order of a federal judge. Yesterday, a judge from Maryland issued a temporary restraining order against a dozen agencies that had fired probationary employees. That ruling said that the government gave no advance notice to the workers and fired them illegally without cause.
It's the federal policy hokey pokey. Are we left foot in, left foot out right now? All right, we're left foot out, I guess, at the moment.
Well, I don't know. I think we might be going right foot in.
Oh, right foot in, right foot out. Okay, yeah. No, fair enough. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's
right
gone around
in,
a few times.
Right foot in, left foot out, straddling the line, waiting to figure out what the court's going to do.
Turn yourself around and we'll see what it's all about. Protesters in New York City continue to speak out about the arrest of pro-Palestinian activist
Mahmoud Khalil by federal ICE agents over the weekend. Hundreds of demonstrators apparently stormed Trump Tower yesterday and demanded that Khalil be released from custody. And American Airlines says one of its planes caught on fire in Denver at the airport, but the good news, they were able to make a safe landing. According to a statement, Flight 1006 experienced an engine-related issue. There's no reports of injuries. There were 172 people on the plane.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for that update. Kites on the Coast comes up this weekend at Casino Beach starting today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Well, I maybe wouldn't do it tomorrow with the weather, but, you know, it could be a fun kite day. We're in the, like, 3 to 4 zone out of 5. It's going to be really rough tomorrow afternoon, especially in the evening.
News. I'm Chris Foster. A bill to prevent a partial government shutdown tonight needs the support of at least 8 Senate Democrats to advance, and the Senate's top Democrat says he'll vote with Republicans.
Chuck Schumer suggesting a shutdown would give the Trump administration too much power.
It will distract from his true agenda, delivering massive cuts to the rich, paid for on the backs of American families.
Schumer's remarks a day after saying he'd oppose the measure.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. Two judges on the same day ordered the Trump administration to rehire, at least temporarily, thousands of fired federal workers.
One judge saying the sheer number of employees that were terminated in a matter of days belies any argument that these terminations were due to the employees' individual unsatisfactory performance or conduct.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Another judge also rules the Trump administration did not provide legally required advance notice to state governments about the mass layoffs. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, 68 degrees. Right now, we've got mostly cloudy skies today. An Escambia County man was sentenced to 12 years in prison for a cold case murder from 1998 yesterday. 45-year-old Donald Holmes II was found guilty of manslaughter with a firearm. Initially, he'd been charged with murder for the death of cab driver Stephen Davis. This was at a Westside Winn-Dixie parking lot. Back in August of 1998, investigators say new forensic evidence enabled them to identify Holmes as a suspect. Years after that crime, Holmes was already in a Florida prison on a home invasion charge from 2012. Those two sentences will now run concurrently. A Santa Rosa County mother and her boyfriend are charged with child abuse after a baby had to be hospitalized with various injuries. 28-year-old Jordan Moore was arrested earlier this month on a felony child neglect charge. Her boyfriend, 29-year-old Jesse Smith, was also arrested on felony child abuse charges. An arrest report detailed that child's injuries, which included a broken arm, rib, legs, bruises, and bite marks. Another child in the home reportedly told investigators Smith would cover the baby's nose and mouth to stop her from breathing and hit her. Both Moore and Smith are now due back in court on March 27th. Pensacola police say a woman was the victim of a targeted crime after cashing a check recently at a local bank. She'd cashed her check, left with hundreds in cash. After making a stop at another store, she found her vehicle windows smashed out. The money was gone.
This is something that's very rare. It has happened before. It is rare, and it's just another reminder for folks when you're inside a bank getting a large amount of cash or at an ATM to please be aware of your surroundings and pay attention to your rearview mirror to make sure you're not being followed after you leave that financial institution.
PPD spokesman Mike Wood, he says the thieves probably watched her cash the check at the bank and then followed her. He says sometimes criminals have even followed people to their homes in similar situations. Wood says you should always be vigilant when you're carrying a large amount of money and call 911 if you believe somebody is following you. Well, NASA is going to try again today to launch a mission to retrieve two stranded astronauts from the International Space Station. More from Mark Mayfield.
Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams have been stuck on the ISS ever since their Boeing Starliner spacecraft suffered mechanical issues that made it unsafe for them to return aboard it. They were finally supposed to get a step closer to coming home on Wednesday, thanks to NASA's SpaceX Crew 10 mission, but the flight was scrubbed because of an issue with the Falcon 9 rocket. NASA will make another attempt to get off the ground Friday night from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. Well, Pensacola police have now cleared two women of charges after they unknowingly took furniture from a porch, believing a Facebook Marketplace post that advertised the items as free. The women returned the stolen furniture after police intervened. Officers are now working to track down the now-deleted Facebook account that promoted the scam. The residents' surveillance footage helped to identify the incident, which highlights a rising problem of porch piracy. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And again, right now, we've got 68 degrees. Let's get a quick look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with clouds building in, high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. On Saturday, we will have waves of rain with 80% chance of showers, high near 75 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees.
And it's 68 right now in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Our next news is at 6. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has doubled down on his escalating tariff plans, saying, "I'm not going to bend at all," during a meeting in the Oval Office with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. The comments were made as major stock indexes continued to tumble, with the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ falling 10% from its recent highs and entering correction territory. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and its striking advertising and production workers have reached a settlement that gives striking employees severance pay in return for eliminating their jobs. And the pressmen will receive 26 weeks of severance pay, plus additional compensation for staff who were paid on a commission basis. Pearl Street Technologies, a Pennsylvania-based software firm, has been acquired by Enverus. Enverus compiles and analyzes troves of energy data, ranging from the amount of gas flowing out of shale wells in Appalachia to the performance of power plants and solar panels across the U.S. Futures are moderately higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials dropped 537, the NASDAQ down 345. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We had a good conversation with Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, I think, who has also had a promotion to sergeant in the time since we spoke to him. So we'll have to talk with him about that coming up next week. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Had a couple of incidents over the last week or so that I know have been in the news related to your agency. One was a smash and grab in a car that I think, if I remember, started at Cordova Mall. Is that the one?
Yeah, it was at a Wells Fargo up there. The victim cashed a check inside, and was the suspect saw the victim do this either inside or walk outside with cash. We're not really sure which yet, but anyway, he targeted that victim. He followed that victim to a second stop. Once she and her daughter got out of the car and went inside the business, they weren't in there very long at all. The suspect went and smashed out a window and took the cash. So this is something that's very rare. It has happened before. It is rare, and it's just another reminder for folks when you're inside a bank getting a large amount of cash or at an ATM to please be aware of your surroundings and pay attention to your rearview mirror to make sure you're not being followed after you leave that financial institution.
What world are we living in America in 2025 that you have to watch your rearview mirror to make sure nobody's following you from the bank when you go to the donut shop or whatever? Like, I just, because it seems like it's an impossible level of awareness you'd have to really be that cautious all the time to prevent, you know, like it just shouldn't happen. And obviously I know that doesn't change anything.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't think they're going to, when they wake up in the morning, they're going to be a crime victim that day. And they just, it just slips their mind. But anytime you're dealing with a large amount of cash, you just need to up your awareness and be aware of your surroundings. And because people are evil. And if they see that you are getting cash or you're being handed cash after cashing a check, these bad guys, they just can't help themselves, and they'll follow you, and sometimes they'll follow you to your home. So if you think you're ever being followed for any reason, the last thing you want to do is go home. What you want to do is get on the phone and call 911 and keep moving until we're able to get an officer to you to stop that vehicle.
I cannot tell you how many times going to my house, I've noticed a car follow me one turn, fine. Follow me two turns, fine. Follow me three turns, oh, hell no. You know, and it's still every single time it has always been innocuous, but it's just one of those, you pay attention and you notice. And then if you think there's a concern, you keep driving or you get out of your holster, you know, you do whatever needs to be done, but you know, you prepare for the situation and certainly don't just get out assuming that everything is going to be fine. Right. That's the advice.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
We had an incident at Strikers that left at least one person injured, a shooting on Monday. Is that right?
Yeah, well, this was Friday night.
Oh, Friday
night.
Okay,
there
sorry.
Were a lot of shots. Yes, several shots fired. Vehicles were hit. But when officers arrived, there was no victim or suspect on the scene. But later, a person did appear at a local hospital with a gunshot wound that was non-life-threatening. So investigators are working on that one, too.
Now, this is not in the ShotSpotter area, right? Like, that's just a certain part of town. People always ask me, well, what about ShotSpotter? It's great for the part of town it covers, you know, so.
Yeah, it's not in that area. We received several 911 calls on that call.
Okay. And then also, I think we had somebody killed, struck on Langley between Spanish Trail and Summit, a pedestrian. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. That was early Saturday morning. Individual was struck. This was not a hit and run. The person that struck the victim stopped and tried to render aid, but unfortunately, the pedestrian passed away.
Do we know anything else about circumstances or, you know, was the pedestrian in the right of way? Did the car, I'm assuming the car did not go off the road, or was it, do we know anything about why other than it was just, you know, dark and the bad thing happened?
No, the pedestrian was in the roadway. It wasn't a case of a vehicle going up on a sidewalk or anything like that, but the pedestrian was in the roadway.
Okay. All right. Which is, I mean, unfortunate, but you know, these things do happen. We always like to end with a did you know, or a cop myth or something like that. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, what's the most common violation, moving violation, that people commit? Just guess and see if you can get that one right.
Oh, that you actually write, or that they do? Because I think the one that everybody does, they don't ever get written up for, which is not properly stopping at a stop sign. Because I don't think anybody other than a learning driver does that properly. But you mean like citation, when people actually get written up for?
Well, both. I mean, it's just a moving of violation that's committed the most.
And I want to say speeding. I would say not using their turn signals properly, because that's across the board.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that happens, you know, when stores are low on turn signal fluid, people can't use them.
It's always
out.
Sort of thing happens, and it's expensive. And who has to replace it all the time, you know?
Yeah, this economy, you know. But but speeding is number one. That's the number one violation, followed by illegal cell phone use, which most of the time is texting. And then the other most common are failure to yield the right of way, improper lane changes, following too closely, improper turns, and failure to obey a traffic control device, which is your red lights and stop signs and reckless driving. Those are the ones that people commit the most often.
Now, these regulations, they seem like they're specifically targeting Pensacola drivers. I mean, don't you think it's a little bit biased against our local population, all of these things you say good drivers should do?
Well, that's one I got to stay away from. but I can tell you that I've been to other cities and seen the same thing.
No, we do not have – everybody thinks their own drivers are the worst. And then when you live all around the country, there are differences. There are differences in driver capabilities. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for – oh, no, I knew there was something else I wanted to ask you about, which is I talked about this with the mayor yesterday a little bit. With the red light cameras, the goal is not to – I mean, it's a goal to reduce red light violations. But the real goal is to stop accidents, right? Like, is to cut down on the number of especially bad, you know, head-on or T-bone or offset accidents. Those are the really bad ones. I just don't really have knowledge. How often, like, say, in a year, do we have those kind of bad accidents at those intersections, like Bayou and 9th or Airport and 9th or, you know, Fairfield and 9th or, you know, Gregory heading up to the I-110 at 9th Avenue. Like, I just don't really have a sense of, you know, is it once a month we have a bad accident there, once a day? You know, you tell me. You know these things better than I do.
No, it's going to be more like once a day at one of those intersections where those cameras were put in.
Okay.
That's exactly why those intersections were chosen.
Okay, so there's enough of a sample where a couple of hundred times a year those intersections produce very bad accidents. And so if the red light cameras are working, then we should see a reduction from that average across those intersections. Is that what we should be looking for?
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, that's why certain intersections end up with a turn or a signal system anyway, a red light there anyway when it didn't used to, because there's been a lot of crashes there. So these intersections were chosen because of the amount of crashes, and we're hoping that due to awareness and unfortunately fines, that we're going to see a reduction in those crashes. That is the ultimate goal.
Very good. And, you know, as many police chiefs have been saying it, I appreciate all of them saying, this is one of the best ways we can reduce danger to life, limb, and property is just by getting people to, you know, drive more safely. Again, I do think that a lot of the laws you cite were specifically targeted to, you know, be able to use enforcement against Pensacolians, but I'll leave that for another day. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, keeping us informed, keeping us safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 548 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody asked a question on the text line, 437-1620. Why would you cash a check or make a withdrawal and then leave the money in the car? I actually had the same question. I mean, you're entitled to leave your property in your property. You know, you're not obligated to do, I don't know, more careful things with the money. But, you know, I mean, it could have been a laptop. You know, I mean, you've seen all kinds. You probably have people, maybe yourself, who are victims of smash and grab type crimes. And it's just, you know, it's atrocious. I mean, it really is. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are thinking about buying a home or you just have questions. You know, one of the things Christina Leavenworth has really been emphasizing lately is, you know, you might think you can only call her when you're ready to go. Like, you're ready to sell your house. You've decided. Or you're ready to buy a house. You've decided. No. Call her when you're thinking about it. Or just call her when you've got a question. Say, here's how much I've got saved. Here's how much I can devote to housing every month. What kind of house can I buy with that in Pensacola? You know, what will that afford me in Gulf Breeze, in Warrington? will it afford me something on the beach? And she'll say, well, you know, it'll get you this on the beach or that, or, you know, hey, I've got an interesting house, or, you know, well, what are you trying to accomplish? I mean, she'll just talk with you and answer your questions. That's the point. She loves to talk with people about real estate. I know, because I talk with her about real estate. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
Join Dawn and Dr. Fleming Tuesday at 10 for the Ochsner Navant Healthcare 65 Plus Pensacola Expert Panel, where you'll find out why you should choose Ochsner Navant Healthcare as your primary care provider, and also their grand opening of their second Pensacola location in Bellevue on Mobile Highway next to Publix. Call or text in your questions to 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants to spend every day at Play and Stay Pet Daycare while I'm at work. Good thing I can translate doggy. What's that? They're the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian? That's right. She says they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where she loves to play with her friends. Where are they located? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is located at 4220 Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Okay, come on, let's go. Good girl.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Then it is settled. From this day forth, anyone who throws roses at my son's feet will answer to me.
Obviously, it's hard to say anything other than as the voice of Darth Vader was James Earl Jones' best role. But if you had to pick between King Joffrey or Thulsa Doom from Conan, I love King Joffrey.
I'm sorry. I was going to go with
You're going to go with Thulsa Doom?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to go with
No, I was
going to
go with King,
yeah. Have you prepared the royal bathwater? All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Well,
it's a shame what they did with that dog. Anyway, go ahead, sir. Sorry.
You're all right. Russian President Vladimir Putin says he has a number of conditions before he'll agree to a ceasefire with Ukraine. Of course, a U.S. negotiated 30-day ceasefire is on the table. Yesterday at a press conference, Putin said he supports the idea, but he says he wants Ukrainian troops that are in the Russian territory of Kursk to surrender before he'll sign that. It was a tough crowd for J.D. Vance at the Kennedy Center yesterday. The vice president was at the Performing Arts Center in Washington, D.C. for a performance of Stravinsky by the National Symphony Orchestra. Apparently, he was loudly booed by audience members as he took his seat. And the Food and Drug Administration is issuing recommendations for which flu shots to get this year. The decision came without input from a panel of independent vaccine advisors after a February meeting was canceled. The FDA did, however, use its own experts working with the CDC and the Department of Defense to review data from around the world about the type of flu viruses that are circulating this year.
Oh, man, there's so many people that have been sick in the last month. It's the time of year. Okay, it's not that weird.
Well, there's a lot of stuff other than the flu going around, too. The
right?
Norovirus, that sounds terrible.
Antivirus is killing people. I mean, like, yeah, you got all this stuff running around, and you kind of wonder, like, it's a terrible time. But yeah, I've been surprised by how many people have been out for significant chunks of time and tell me how awful it is. You know, I got a sick kid right now, you know, like, and he's the one that never gets sick very often, but he's been like 3 days, you know, 4 days, which is long for anybody who's that young. David, thanks so much for the update. Don't lick any doorknobs. 5:53 here on News Radio 9. That's it. It's always the Rugrats. Bringing the stuff home, licking the doorknobs and touching each other and picking their nose. And
licking the doorknobs.
That's what we always say about how you get sick from kid. Like, especially when, you know, when our kids were like school age at school,
right.
You know, and, you know, especially like K through eight kind of whatever. And you just, man, young kids are just disease factories. They just are.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, they don't practice the best personal hygiene. You know, no. I mean, they're kids. It's what happens. Hey, if you are thinking about getting some work done inside your house when it comes to heating, electrical, air conditioning, or plumbing, Peden, they will handle all of that stuff. All of the, like, complex machinery type stuff inside your home. They can take care of that. You know, it's not all the same, right? But it's all kind of in a group. Okay, things that you need some professional expertise in order to do, you know, and you often will do it wrong if you try to do it yourself, and it can be dangerous if you do it wrong. Anyway, Peden takes care of all that stuff for 55 years. They have been operating all along the Gulf Coast. Of course, began over in, Panama City vicinity, but they've been in Pensacola forever, Tallahassee all the way to the eastern time zone even, and then, of course, Baldwin County more recently, and then into Mobile over the last couple of years. So everywhere along the Gulf Coast, professional people, you know, high-quality products, installation that you can trust, 100% money set, you know, 100% satisfaction. They stand behind their products all the time. And right now, for the month of March, with March Madness coming up, they've got $1,000 off mini-split air conditioners. So that's the kind of thing where you want to cool down your garage or your sunroom or your workshop this summer, you know, because maybe last year you're one of those, like, watch the game in the garage type people. And, you know, when it got to be 100, you're like, this is not as much fun as I had expected it to be. Hey, that's why you want a mini-split, you know, air conditioning system for the garage. $1,000 off right now through the month of March. Find out more at Peden, PEADEN.com. I want to talk to you a little bit about one of the elements of the Doge push that I find baffling. And it really, it frustrates me. But it's in the context of something that historically I find myself on the other side of an issue from a lot of people. I dislike paying taxes at least as much as everybody else. But I don't hate the IRS. Because I think the IRS is the enforcement arm of the law that funds the government that I'm pretty grateful exists. You know, I can disagree with the federal government an awful lot, but, you know, income taxes do pay for a lot of tanks and planes. And I like having our tanks and planes and ships, okay? And so when it comes to the IRS, they are a law enforcement agency, right? And so when we are cutting IRS agents, we're doing two things. We're creating worse public-facing service, like when I need the IRS for something, there are fewer people there to handle my issue, which is a problem for me as a citizen. But also, there are fewer income tax cops, which means that people or corporations get away with not properly paying their federal income taxes, which means we lose money, which means the government has to make it up a different way, and they make it up a different way by taxing the rest of us more. Noncompliance is law-breaking, and it's a big deal. And so, generally speaking, I don't like the idea of cutting positions of law enforcement that make money for the federal government. But even worse than that is you have, like, the Large Business International Division at the IRS that audits wealthy individuals and companies worth more than $10 million in assets, pharma, technology, oil and gas, okay? It's the IRS division with the largest return on investment. You know, like, you're going to pay $1 million in salary, and what you're going to get back is $50 million in increased tax collection, right? Or more. So cutting there makes no sense. Those positions literally make the government money. And, you know, it's also got a lot of specialized experts, petroleum engineers, computer scientists, people who really understand the special area of enforcement that the big companies they work with have to deal with. And so when you lay those people off or you fire those people or, you know, please do not return to the office, it doesn't save you money. It costs money. And so it's a weird thing to say. We're increasing government efficiency by spending more because we're failing to collect the taxes on companies and wealthy individuals that we were collecting before. One of the engineers who was still with the IRS was telling, who was this, Newser, I guess, maybe AP, that he says their team of fewer than 10 people had recouped $5 billion in adjusted taxes over the last 4 years. $5 billion with a B, nine figures. By firing us, you're going to cut down on how much revenue the country brings in. An estimated 100 of the division's 260 engineers are thought to have already been terminated. The engineers are the ones who make sure that you get, you know, the $60 million from the company instead of the $40 million from the company because they understand the difference of how it's supposed to be. There was another guy who was fired, like, basically said, well, I had a $1 billion on a single tax return that I was working on. I'm fired. That's just going to go away. Who's going to handle that now? So this across the board, you know, leap before you look kind of cutting might seem popular with people who are like, yeah, get the IRS. Well, who exactly at the IRS and how much money do they make for all of us?
Listen on air.